What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. And we are with the captain, who may or may not be able to speak today, but we're going to find out. And as always, I'm your host, Bailey Hegbre. Andy.
It's always something.
Dude, oh, my God. It's straight up emphysema, Andy, tonight, man. It's
So my voice is gone. As you can hear, I went to the Bills game Sunday night against the Chiefs, and as loud as the stadium's ever been. And yes, I was screaming like a little kid because I had Taylor Swift and Jason Kelce like five rows behind me. And it was a great time. My voice is going to go in and out as we're doing this, but I'm here. I feel fine. I've just smoked way too many cigarettes up into my 70s. And now here we are.
That's awesome. The dedication, buddy. We respect it.
Yeah.
But there's definitely going to be.
I got you.
You already know I'm clipping this and making something up.
Go ahead. It's not the first time that I've had no voice. It's not the last.
Have you seen that clip on social of the people making fun of Miley Cyrus? It sounded like she has the same voice. It's like something about the journey, whatever. Her sounding like she has emphysema and people making fun of it. That's what I'm pairing with.
That's fine. Go right ahead. I can take it. Go right ahead. I'm good with it. So,
small story for the folks, being that you were at that game, is Andy here had the chance to be on the NFL page as Jason Kelce. I'm sure you've seen, if you have any lick of social media, is shirtless screaming out of the suite at the Bills Stadium, and everyone's looking back, either taking pictures or something. And there's one jabroni with his head in his phone looking down.
That the Chiefs scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Andy could have been on the NFL page, but instead he was buried in his phone.
This is how close I was to Jason Kelce.
He's pretty damn close.
There he is, naked, five rows away. And then I got another one here for all the fangirls out there. There's T-Swift.
Literally.
Yeah, it was
it's funny because that will come full circle for our second half of the show later today, where we got a wild show for today. We have Mr. Keith Tuma and Brendan Brown from Brown Bait Co. joining us later on the show. But before that, we have our man Mr. Matty Wong joining us here. We're going to talk about a few things, but especially you guys have heard us talk about the whole Japanese fishing culture on this show and our admiration for it. And Maddie's going to talk about his trip out to Japan, all about that. Talk about culture a little bit, maybe some goodies he got over there, and talk about the upcoming Elite Series season. Nonetheless, it's going to be a fun show. But instead of making fun of Andy anymore, we do have some cool, which we'll do throughout the show. I promise.
There's a great comment here that I sound like Christian Bale's Batman. And like, there's some great quotes from that movie. So like,
dude, speaking of that, Grimy Fishing, thank you for reminding me of this. I found one of my favorite new pages to follow on social media. And it's this dude that's a college student that goes to class in a full, like, badass Batman getup and speaks like Batman the whole time. Dude, I'll have to send you it. It is hilarious.
I will die.
It is awesome.
Like, you remember like the original Bat Dad that would like just wear a Batman mask?
It's like that. It's exactly like that.
You want to know the difference between me and you? I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Dude, it's honestly spot on right now. It's so good. Oh, God. Well,
that's like the best quote from that movie.
100%. Yeah, I'm going to get distracted so fast with that tonight. But nonetheless, feel free to rip Andy in the comments here. Have some fun with it. He knows we do it out of love. But apologies about the Bills, man. Nonetheless, we get to talk Bassin tonight. And real fast, before we get Mr. Matty Wong on here, is proud to announce that Rec Lending has signed on again for the 2024 season. And it's going to be... We're going to be a lot tied in further with them ever over at Rec Lending. You guys saw we did a pretty big giveaway with them that ended early January, where they were handing out over $10,000 in cash and prizes. If you guys want to, obviously, if you're looking for boat loans, advice, things like that, they are the people to go to. We have some pretty cool stuff coming up with them this year. So pretty pumped to announce that. And we have some more pretty cool stuff that we'll talk about later in the show. We don't need to do it all right at this moment. But quick thing is fantasy fishing season's coming up. Elite Series season. A link is down below in the show notes, whether you're watching or listening. If you guys want to go join the Serious Angler Fantasy Fishing Group. It's always been fun in recent years. We've always had about a couple thousand people in that group. It's been super fun. So come to compete. We'll have prizes to give away to the winners. And we have, of course, our fantasy fishing live shows already prepared and ready to rock for upcoming shows and upcoming events. But Andy, I think without further ado here, let's get on our guest for today, Mr. Matty Wong. What's going on?
We can let him talk for a little bit. How's it going?
I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this.
I need to get this off my chest right now. You sound like Mort from Family Guy.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
And you swear it. Oh, my God. It's so good.
I had to that's go awesome. There.
That was part of it.
But didn't he have, like, a whistle?
Yeah. Oh, like, no. Like no, that's whistle? That. That's like that's the old guy that's like that's like the pedo old like guy that's like wait yeah. For Chris, I
grandpa
just wait for my fucking news.
Yeah. Yeah, the whistle at the end of every word.
Just wait for the paper boys. What's up, guys? Thanks that's for having awesome, me on. Man. Yeah.
What's up, dude? You well, so we have a bunch to unpack here with you. Yeah. Obviously, your big trip to Japan that was super cool to follow along with. People should definitely watch the videos you put out if they haven't already. Thanks. But before we do, something I learned about you literally offline 30 minutes ago that I don't know how I didn't know is that you play hockey, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played it in a little bit. I actually got to play over the right before the new year with my brother in Washington. Got to jump on some little pickup game, and yeah, it was super fun. The mitts are a little dry, and so the dangle wasn't quite there, and the cardio was definitely not up. But you know,
all crusty.
I think some later candy quotes were chirped, and there's definitely a couple of beers drank, so it was a good time.
Dude, that's freaking awesome!
Yeah, I love the sport of hockey. It's incredible. I think it's one of the most like athletically demanding sports out there over football. Sorry, Andy.
No, it's all good. I love hockey, too. It's one of the few sports you can play on a broken leg and still skate. So props to Sid the Kid.
Yeah, Sid the Kid. That guy's insane.
It's unreal. It's I could go on a whole tangent, but I'll restrain myself because I just – like I tell people on here, like I have fishing, you know, as the passion, and hockey is like a very close number number two. But like obviously people know your story. We've had you on the show. You've been on numerous shows, obviously coming from Hawaii and all that. But like, where the heck did hockey fall in down this timeline? Like, where did that start?
What was it? 1994, 96. When did the Mighty Ducks come out?
The movie or the team?
The movie.
The movie. I want to say that was
94.
I thought it was
92. You guys are in front of two computers. You guys can 92. Look it up.
We're trying to ask our knowledge here.
So
was it?
It was. I think just growing up and watching the Mighty Ducks, and just being fascinated by ice. But I mean, the thing is, in Hawaii, the as you guys can probably assume that the ice rinks weren't that great. Actually, a matter of fact, we only had one ice rink. It was called the Ice Palace, and it was like a steady 55 degrees.
So it was like skating on water all the time.
Yeah, it was bad. Like you could see the pipes, like it was a mess. Mm-hmm. But I played inline hockey through middle school and a little bit into high school, and actually like traveled on like a select team and had a fun thing with that.
For roller or for ice?
For roller.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah.
So you were living like when they in the was it Mighty Ducks 2 where they found the kids that were playing?
That's exactly what it was, and I was just like, oh my god, that could be me. That could be me.
You were the knuckle puck kid.
I was the knuckle puck kid. It was so funny because we would put my brother in goal, and he'd be like, he was like oversized goalie pads with like these just ridiculous rollerblades on. We would always be like, clear the goalie. And he'd be like, don't clear the goalie. But it was just, awesome. just good times, just growing up, pre-cell phone days.
Yeah.
And then, when I moved out to California, I got to play ice hockey. And yeah, I love the sport. It's a ton of fun.
Not to keep the whole hockey conversation going, even though I could talk about this for hours.
Oh, we could probably do an entire show just on hockey.
We should just get like a hockey fishing panel, the Johnston brothers, you, like there's a few, Josh Douglas.
I think Zaldane skates too.
Yeah. Yeah, Panger, like there's a whole crew in on the fishing side. And obviously it's a big crossover up north, but
For sure. I'm probably been a able Panger competitor to the Johnstons, man. Those guys probably just like injected hockey at conception.
It's just it's like it pumped it into their veins hourly, you know. It's like once you cross a certain threshold in it's Canada, just like, that's all they know.
Their blood's like thick as maple syrup, and all they just want to do is just talk hockey and quote later Kenny.
See, I picture the Johnston brothers just being like straight out of Slapshot.
Like, oh.
Yeah, that's what that reminds me of.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But have you been able to play like pond hockey? Anything like that yet?
So that's I swear to God, I'm not making this up. That's literally one of my dreams, like one of my bucket list things while I'm living on this earth. I want to be able to skate over a like a natural body of water, whether it's like a frozen river or a lake or something, and then to play pond hockey, because I just feel like that would just combine two of my most favorite things in the world: fishing and water and hockey.
Yeah, pond hockey.
So maybe we'll have like a couple tip ups going, and like, you know,
well, you have to.
That's a legit thing. Like people use it. Yeah, they use skates to get to faster to because you have better traction for the most part too.
Yeah,
I mean, to get from like hole to hole.
That's brilliant. I'd be so down for that. But it's like every single place, it's like a relay race. You got to like take a shot or like chug a beer. No, I'm playing. No, I'm not playing. That'd be fun.
It'd be fun as hell. Yeah, let's do that. So, dude, to detract here from hockey, we're definitely going to be talking about this more. But, dude, your trip to Japan. When did the plans start to go over there? And how long did you go?
Well, it kind of came out of nowhere. My brother was, you know, it was kind of like an unfortunate situation that turned into a cool opportunity for his family and also for me. But his wife's father, so his father-in-law passed during COVID, and they haven't had a chance to have a funeral. So they were going back to go and go back to the like with the family there. My brother has two sons now, and so it was just a perfect opportunity for me to go and say what's up to see my brother and go and be uncle for a little bit. So it was a perfect time to do that. And then Taku, Kenta, and Daisuke, a bunch of the guys were already back in Japan. So it was cool to be able to meet up with everyone there. So it worked out perfectly, you know? And it was definitely an adventure. Definitely adventure. It was my first time going. It was like kind of solo in a way. I mean, obviously I went there solo, but just after meeting up with my brother and then going with the rest of the guys and just kind of floating around, it was it put a lot of my Japanese skills to test. My listening comprehension has gotten exponentially better, and just learning how to say certain more casual terms that they would use versus what you're taught in school when you're trying to learn a language,
right?
Which is typically
Yeah,
like, you know, like if like the way that we speak to each other versus, you know, if you're talking to some
formal
your professor or a elderly nobleman.
Yeah, it's relaxed, like not a formal conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's cool.
No, it was great, man. Ate a bunch of good food. Went to too many theme parks. Too much for my liking.
Theme parks,
Went to Disney. Was it Disneyland? Tokyo Disneyland. Went to Universal World, and then did the Osaka Aquarium, which was actually pretty cool.
That actually sounds pretty sick.
The aquarium. Yeah, the aquarium's dude, they had this one exhibit where they had two whale sharks inside this holy massive aquarium.
How?
Don't put it past the Japanese, bro. Don't ask me that question. Ask them. That's fair. But it was massive. It was so cool. It was like this giant building that was built around this massive aquarium. And every single floor that you went up, there were certain sections of the tank that you could see. And then on the outer perimeter of the tank, there was also like a dolphin exhibit and then also penguins and seals and whatever. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see. Just for the record, this is not my my setup, but this is this is like my... This is like my my fake man cave. Like, this is my buddy Alex's stuff. But it's funny because this is all the stuff that I enjoy. Like, I enjoy archery. I enjoy hockey. There's a couple shotguns here. We went duck hunting the other day. But yeah, I wish I could take claim for this. I don't really have a home base right now. So
that's awesome. I get
to borrow my friend's stuff though. Eventually,
yeah.
That's the bucket list.
Well, dude, speaking of bow hunting, you got into that too this offseason. I saw your post that.
Yeah.
Dude, so that's something. Are you hooked now or what?
I am. I really wish I could have a bow in the truck with me just to like do some reps, like to clear the head. It's pretty. It's definitely centering when you get into like a shooting mode. It has like kind of a similar effect that fishing does, but in a different way. It's neat. It's really cool. And to be able to, like, you know, harvest meat that's free-ranged and delicious. Like, I was able to bring goat and pig to some of my friends and family and cook for them. So that was really special. And yeah.
That's one of the best times. Parts about it, dude, is like doing it all yourself.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. It's crazy rewarding. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I started fishing, or I don't know, I was two. I didn't have no clue why I wanted to fish except for fun. But it was one of the reasons why I continued on doing it into my like teen years, was because the joy of bringing fish to people that can't go out and catch them themselves is something that's really rewarding.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, well, Sam. Oh, boy. You're in it. You're in it for a treat, my friend. We got a few things to talk about.
Yeah. So for folks listening that might not be tuning in live here, Sam Axe is asking, did you do any fishing or tackle browsing in Japan? Followed by another comment here from Brad that had asked, how much tackle did you bring home? So I'll let you take it from here.
And what is the legal limit of tackle that you can bring into the States before you have to pay dues or taxes or whatever the term is?
I think it's $2,000. It might be less. I think it's around $2,000. It could be 800, so don't quote me on it. But also right now, the yen is pretty weak to the dollar. It's about 135. I don't know if it's gone up at all, but 135 yen to the dollar. So everything's, it was like 30% off. I probably spent too much, but one of my mechanics from SDG Marine actually brought back an entire suitcase for me. So I was able to like sneak out with the stuff that I had in my bag and it was no problem. And then he was able to take stuff. So I might've had a mule help me with this. So I don't know how much you can as one person legally take out, but definitely did a lot of tackle shopping there. The first week and a half was just mainly being with the family. And then after that, we just, I went on an absolute rampage on trying to find as many tackle shops as I could, and also try to like locate some pretty cool niche baits that, I mean, I've never seen, or was just interesting to see.
What was the success rate of finding interesting JDM baits that
it's, you know, surprisingly, once you get the run of the mill things that you see in most tackle shops, it's kind of like when you're here in the US, right? You're always going to find your Strike Kings. You're always going to find your Yamamoto worms. You're always going to find your Zoom stuff. You're always going to find your KVD stuff. When you go there, it's like you're always going to find your depth stuff. Like, you're always going to find certain other like Raid and Bass Brigade and, you know, a few others. OSP is really big there. You know, all the JDM specifics. Nori's has a ton of baits there, and then Mega Bass. But yeah, it was I would say one in every, like, I mean, every shot would blow your mind, especially when it comes to individual techniques and specific techniques. So for me, being a saltwater fisherman as well, I have a lot of interest in subtle saltwater techniques and also tackle. So I got a bunch of organization stuff that just I would literally use like a cardboard like cutout to wrap a leader, and now they have these like perfectly like plano box things that are meant to wrap leaders, and it was pretty cool to see their organization stuff. And then their selection of soft plastics would absolutely blow your mind. I got like a few things that I was going to show you guys, but it's pretty funny. This is the first time I'm working on this. This is the dice. Oh, gosh. Everyone's seen here this bait. Yeah. But this is like the jam on Lake Biwa. Like everyone and their mom is throwing dice in like this color too. And so.
So that a total random question on that dice. Cause yeah. Like, I don't know, Andy, if we've ever talked about it on the show, maybe jokingly about Koya on Fantasy Fishing, but like, is that something you're going super light line with? Like when you are.
Yeah. It's like 6 pound test, 5 pound test, drop shot. And then it just like falls down, and then they just shake the slack, and everything's just going like that.
Yeah. Michael Bradley's asking, you are still with Mega Bass, correct?
Mm-hmm. I'm still with Mega Bass.
There you go. I was waiting for like some Superman moment here. Yeah.
Still with Mega Bass. This is actually really cool. This leads me to my next little show and tell lure that I'll bring to the stage.
Type R's.
Andy's
this is one that I saw after spending I spent probably like $3,000 or $4,000 there, and this was one when I already told myself like, okay, you're done, and then my buddies walked me into this tackle shop and I saw these on the walls like, shoot,
now
I don't want to buy Mega Bass stuff because I already get it. I'm like, but I can't get this here. So
the Type R is more of like a reeling style jerkbait, but I can still dart, right? Like, yeah, that
exactly.
It's the racing version, so it's more crank down.
It's a crank down, and because I used to like speed crank a plus two, and I've gotten some really good bites doing that, just speed cranking it, not jerking it. So this is kind of cool. And then also because that's the thing, the bigger the bill, the less erraticness you're gonna have. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when you have a sweet spot of like the plus one, that's where you're gonna have like that really wide erratic motion. So this thing, it's not gonna be crazy erratic, but I think when you have fish that are not wanting to go too far and they can just make subtle little half foot to 1 foot darts versus like a 3 foot, 4 foot swing, it has its place. But
intriguing as hell. And yeah, I think you were saying you can't get those in the States right now, right?
No, you can't get the plus three.
God damn. What? So what are you? What
sorry, would you not use? Sorry.
What would you use setup wise for a plus three? Like
for that, I would probably. I mean, the thing. So there's the 110 stick or the jerkbait special. There's a 110 stick. And I think there's one more Mega Bass rod. The one that's a little bit more stout, it's a little bit longer. That's the one that I would use on that. That's a rod that I really like, even on my larger topwater baits. I'm talking like your Mega Dog X's, but I'm talking like your 4 and 5 inch topwater style baits. It's just a little bit of a faster taper rod. It's not as slow, so you can get it down and it'd be all right. But yeah, probably one of those, and then fish it on light line and just hopefully not get it hung up on a tree. Yeah. 20 feet.
Andy, are you trying to surf the internet for one?
I mean, you can find them. That's the thing. You can get them on like eBay and stuff like that. And then
eBay, maybe, Japan, you can import them. It's just a pain.
Yeah, it's just a pain. It comes out to, I think, like $50 a bait after everything's said and done. But
no joke, really, I've known about them for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh yeah, no, it's
god dang.
So 21, so 2000, so ni abi niman hyaku nanaju hachinen, which would be equate to $14.
That, what you just said was $14.
Yeah. Well, no, because it's 2000. is 2,178 yen into the conversion.
Yeah, you say all that and you're like, yep, $14.
That's $14. Come on down. Get yourself a
yeah, that's cool.
This was also pretty neat. I told Taku that I wouldn't really put that out there too much, but it's not like Kyoyo would probably be more pissed off. But this is a this was a deal that he was using up on St. Lawrence. So this was kind of cool.
Is that like the Nightcrawler one?
Yeah, they're pretty unique. They have like this, they already have a bend in it. And then again, you just fish it on a super light finesse, like 4-pound test and a mosquito hook.
That's wild.
All the Japan smallmouth bass are a lot smaller than the ones that we have here, so they can get away with a lot more finesse techniques. I bought a bunch for Hawaii as well to fish in the streams and whatnot. You can just pitch it into small little pockets and shake it and get fit. But
that's pretty sweet, dude.
This is kind of neat. My buddy got. My friends just kind of gave me some stuff there too. I'm like, oh, try this, try this. This is a bait called Fat Lab.
Fat Lab.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Like, it's a pretty sweet color to it. Removable bill.
Kind of like that. You just went and broke that off.
It's like, yeah, you don't need this thing. but that's crazy. It's kind of neat. It's kind of like a similar to like a DRT, but not really. The tail is pretty unique. But yeah, segmented bait that I could take the lip off. I mean, this would be kind of a cool bait, I think, in the summertime. You know, when it heats up a bit.
I bet a spot would just absolutely unload on that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's something that I'm like, I'd be like, nobody else has this. Well, we go down to like Smith and Wheeler and whatnot. So
here's the question too: is did you buy more than one of each of these things? Because us as
no, like that's the thing. I'll say hasta la bye bye, and then I just have a broken heart and try to figure out how to get those fish again.
Just buy a ticket back to Japan.
Yeah, I mean, it's another great excuse just to go back there again. I swear, right. Anyone who's like hasn't been there nowadays, it is so like the first time I was that I went to Japan, it was really short. It was quick. It was for a layover on the way to Indonesia. I went on a surf trip to Bali, and it was Google Maps wasn't like really doing the automatic routing stuff yet. It was still, you still had to go to the station, get a paper map and try to figure things out. And then not too many English stuff. Now it's like, you could just all on your phone, get around fairly easy, learn a few simple things and basically be fine. So I don't know. It's always good to get out of the country, expands your mind, learn a bunch.
Question for you on like kind of the culture of anglers over there. You were mentioning earlier the lingo, like kind of like a more relaxed saying things they have. And obviously there's so many dang things we have over here. Like, you know, people going to each other like, oh, you catching them or go catch them up, you know, whatever the saying might be. Like, do they have something over there? What do they say over there?
Debu bass, like debu means fat. So like, oh, devil bass or deka bass is like, deka is big. So like there's
Dicka,
a brand.
Like Dicka?
D-E-K-A, deka. So like D-E-K-A, deka. So that's like a term that they say. And yeah, there's other things that I didn't learn too much about the fishing nuances because it was more so when we were like drinking and hanging out. But it was just neat though, because it really helped me a ton with just listening comprehension, especially when you got with groups that could barely speak any English. So it was neat, especially just to kind of like be able to be the fly on the wall in a way, and then to chime in once in a while, and then when I actually can understand what they're saying, respond, and then they're like, oh, are they? Huh? And then they just get all surprised that I understood them.
That's cool. Yeah. What was like some of your bigger takeaways from like their, at least their fishing culture coming back?
They shake everything. Everything is shaken.
No dead stick.
No, Dead stick. So it's either the extremes, right? It's like a 30-minute cast, or you're like shaking it nonstop.
Dang. Yeah, I'm the like shaker. I'd never stop shaking stuff.
Yeah, it's really hard to be the 30-minute cast guy. I don't think I can fish that way.
Maybe 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts though. Like, I learned how to fish the scat correctly. I learned how to fish like certain other things correctly, and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is how it was intended to be fished. I'm like, us Americans know nothing.
That's why they come over here and whoop us, right?
Because yeah, seriously. I mean, they
nuances.
It's the subtle things that they pay attention to. My time with Taco was really cool. Like he would melt some plastic onto a bait just to like bulk a certain section of the bait up, and then re-swim it right by the boat and be like, oh, that's it. Oh, that's it. And then duplicate it again and again, just by like adding his own custom plastic. And then, yeah, it's pretty cool to see the process when it comes to refining soft plastics and that kind of stuff, especially on the angler level. I mean, that's something that I've always really enjoyed doing is dev, like development conversations. So it's pretty neat. I mean, speaking of development stuff, it was neat to see the super rare original. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. This is called the Flag 255, not to be mistaken with the knockoff version. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and then you got like the TKs. I really like DRT. I mean, obviously I'm with Mega Bass, but they make a really unique bait, and it's cool. They also collaborate with really small companies and give back, and support small bait makers and really like give back to the community. It was cool. This is like a tiny little shop that was called Fish with an exclamation mark. And it was inside a trailer, like a literal storage.
Matt Robertson trailer.
No, not like, he's, what was he doing as a hot tub? He's like, oh, look, I'll make my pontoon boat a hot tub. Yeah. I was like, oh man, now I lost my train of thought. Damn it,
Fish.
Talk about trailer.
Okay, so trailer. A shipping container. It was a shipping container that they painted blue and did like a big. It wasn't calligraphy, but it was like cool font and just said Fish with exclamation point. And then you walk in, and all it is just that's the how big the shop is. But it was just so. The way that it was procured was really cool. Like there was a lot of thought that went into it, and it was almost like a boutique tackle shop. Like I don't think I'd ever use those two words and put them together, but that's exactly what it was. It was like this boutique shop where they had some cool like hype clothing. There, it's all about like the style, right? Like it's not like the American like swim baiter where it's like the funny like costumes where it's like, oh, become a swim baiter in one package. Like, I don't know if you guys seen those memes Halloween, but there it's like, there's a certain style for bass fishermen, and it's super kakui, which means like, it's so cool, edgy. So it's like, it was just neat to be a part of that. And then also to be brought there by this up and coming kid, named Riku. And he was all over the place. Like he had a bunch of his old rods in there, and like he walked in and like everyone in the store just like stopped him, like, Riku-san, oh, and then like we're like asking him questions. It was like if KVD had walked into a shop. Like it was like a really cool thing. And then they just like completely ignore me, and I'm like, perfect, because I'm just like being this fly on the wall and just watching this whole cool microcosm of fishing culture take place, and to just see them be so enamored by this kid who's like, I mean, his biggest bag this year was like 55 or 60 pounds on like 5 pound test during a tournament on Lake Biwa.
What?
Yeah. He's like, ah, it's a Goju Go Poundo. And I'm like, wait, Goju Go Poundo. He's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, that's 55 pounds. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Oh my crazy. God. Crazy stuff. I mean, the fish there are on a different level. The build, yeah, we can dive more into Biwa, but yeah, the build there, when I saw two fish, I saw a lot of fish, but we got two in the boat, and the ones we saw were incredibly healthy, and it was really cool to see their build. And
do you think it's the type of bait fish they're eating in the lake?
Yeah. IU and I'm spacing on it. It's gonna like come to me, but it's the gosh. Oh my gosh, I should know this. Oh well, either way, it'll come to me. Yeah, it starts with a K.
Are you googling it, Andy?
Kawasaki.
Kawasaki.
There's some Kawasaki baits. Oh gosh, that's the worst.
It's good. About a bait or a bait fish right now?
It's a bait fish. So we're talking about like the forage that these fish get to eat on. So I use one of them, which is it's a common color bait that a lot of people will try to replicate. And it's just like a generic looking bait fish, but they have a ton of protein. I use one, AYU. And then if you guys just Google it, I mean, it'll definitely pop up. Just bait fish in Biwa.
Yeah,
Biwa. Ko stands for lake. So you'll hear Lake Biwa, and then you'll other hear people say Biwa Ko, and Biwa Ko is like saying Lake Biwa, but in Japanese.
So while Andy looks this up, like say anybody that's listening or watching this right now is going to the classic and they see a taku or a koya, and they basically want to say hello, but maybe say something that's like cool and they're in Japanese. Like whether it's a sign of respect or like
like the simplest one is like konnichiwa, right? And like that's like everyone knows that, or it sounds like that's the one that is like the most common term. Like konnichiwa is like hey, good afternoon.
Right.
But like I learned like what one of my buddies, because you would say like, oh, like what are you doing? Like in Japanese, you would say like, oh, nani shimasu ka? But like you would say like, oh, nani suru no? Like what are you doing? So like just the way that they would say it is completely different. Like instead of saying like ima doko ni irimasu ka, like where are you, you would say oh doko iru no, and you're like oh. So it's like learning how to just, it's the short form of each word, the correct particle to connect the verb at the end. Or the short form of each noun, and then the correct particle, and then the verb. So it's kind of, it's weird.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a trip. So I don't know. You can say saiking do, which means like what's up, man. It's like they're saiking like what's do? Up, saiking do. Yeah, it's like what's up, Tino. Oh, saiking do. Hi, saiking do. Or o genki desu ka? That would be more like proper. Is like are you well? Genki is wealth or health. So it's like okinki desu ka. That's when you add ka to the end, it makes it a question. So okinki desu ka, and it'd be like, what? They would really be surprised, especially coming out of your mouth.
I figured out why the bass are so big. They have gobies.
They do have gobies. They actually have some pretty big size gobies there too. They're pretty cool looking. They also have an endemic
Morocco. Morocco minnow.
Well, is another, you know, I'm gonna look it up because you know what, I'm gonna find it instantly, and it's gonna beat me up if I can find my phone.
Yeah,
I don't know. Dude. I don't even know what my phone is. Oh, I got it. It starts with. It's killing me that I can't think of it.
Hey, you can look it up here, Andy. That's like the one thing I would love to do. Like, it's legitimately on one of my bucket lists, is to at least understand a handful of Japanese language just to communicate like with anglers.
Yeah.
That would be super freaking cool. I can imagine it's probably extremely difficult. Probably took you a long time.
Well, because they have so many different, so there's three different alphabets. There's kanji, which is which is actually originally Chinese characters that was adopted by Japanese. Then you have katakana, which is everything in the world that is not Japanese. So if this was a beer, they would say biru, and that would be spelt in katakana, biru. But if it was a Japanese thing, like this would, let's just say like this was like ayu, kore wa ayu, it would be spelt in hiragana, which is a different alphabet. So that's how they decipher things that are native to Japan versus not. So orange is spelt with katakana. And coffee is kohi. It's spelled with katakana. versus like spam musubi. Like musubi would be in hiragana. So yeah, it takes a while. 4 years. I took 4 years of Japanese. It's the equivalent of taking like a year or 2 years of Spanish. Like that's how much like it translates to. Yeah, it's extremely hard. Insane. So
here's an idea for you, Maddie. Here's the $1 million idea.
Oh boy,
you make a bass fishing Rosetta Stone for English. Something that's simplified what you need to know to talk to Japanese anglers.
Wagasaki, that's what it's called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everyone knows it. Everyone's heard of the term Wagasaki or the color Wagasaki. They actually have a bait fish that's Wagasaki. And they also have these big giant houseboats that go out where they have these cutout sections where everyone goes and fishes sabiki rigs for Wagasaki and using like a pound or 2 pound test to catch these things. And they're tiny little bait fish. They're like 3 inches, 4 inches tops. And then you put them in a little bait well, and then you end up like you fry them. If you deep fry them all the way through, you can just like little bits of either like a citrus soy sauce with like a hot bowl of rice. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I was looking up. I think it was like on Morocco was the fish that they got there trying to catch, which would be the Wagasaki, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. That's definitely so cool. a high dense protein based forage for yeah their feed. So I think that's why they get so nuts.
That's epic. But
yeah, one of the guys he gave me a cool new. This is the Depths like Whopper Plopper, their version of one. I've actually never opened it up.
Well, it's got like the big metal prop, right? Not even like a prop. It's like almost like a wing insane of a airplane. Bubble
trail.
Yeah. Insane bubble trail. That's how they would say it.
You just need to voice over that, Andy. That's their commercial. It's just
he just needs to work on his Japanese yeah. accent.
Like, I wasn't trying to say it like that. I was trying to say like
bubble trail. This is called the spin no terror. It's fine, guys. I'm Asian. I can get away with it.
Sam Axe goes tea and honey, Andy. Tea and honey.
Cheers. No, but this is a pretty cool bait. This is the Evoke 0150. Yeah.
I like how big the body profile is on it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Kenta Kimura actually developed this bait. That's pretty neat. We'll give it a shot. That guy's a G, man. That guy's, he's on a whole nother level too. It was just really cool to see what, like how these guys kind of go and fish certain areas and what they do. But yeah, I encourage people to go onto my YouTube and take a look at the videos that I did, the series that I put out. Go on to Matty Wong Fishing on my YouTube. Subscribe, please, if you haven't subscribed, but then check out the series 1 through 4, which I labeled. It was really cool. It was definitely an experience of a lifetime, and hopefully it encourages people to go out, maybe step outside of your comfort zone and take a trip to Japan yourself and experience the country for this is probably not sounding great.
You're good, buddy. Yeah, if you want to go watch Kenta spank Maddie on the water, you can go click them.
All right,
JK.
Want to go that far? I've beat Kenta many of times, but not on his home water.
That's very fair. But for people that are listening or watching, the link straight to Maddie's channel is in the show notes, so you guys can go right there, direct you to it. Definitely encourage you guys to do so. They're freaking bangers. But dude, so here's my last question for you. Unless Andy's got something, and we'll let you go here. What was better for you coming away from Japan? Was it the fishing tackle or the food?
Ooh, I gained like 10 pounds, I think.
Awesome.
For me, and that's really hard to do. Like for me, like I've always had an issue with like trying to put on weight. But then I guess now I'm like, all right,
you're 35.
35. Just gonna pack it on. I think it was mostly like beer weight.
Are they big beer drinkers?
Oh my god, the
beer! It's what Orion is the big beer over there, right? Oh, Orion.
Well, they say Odeon.
Yeah, Odeon.
Odeon. Odeon. And that's I think that's a Korean beer. So you racist. Nah. But it's like Sapporo and Asahi Kirin. Those are the main three. But yeah, Orion is really good too. Yeah, the beers is not like heavy IPAs like they have here. It's just really nice, refreshing light lagers that are they clean the taps on every single bar, you know, so you can taste the beer. You know, when you get to a bar and you're just like, man, when was the last time you guys cleaned your tap line? Like, it's very clear that they just do not upkeep that stuff. In Japan, yeah, it's like the pride of serving crisp, cold, fresh beer is like super important. And I had phenomenal beer across the entire country, along with a bunch of good poo-poos and stuff like that. Like top of small plate. Sorry, in whole. I keep saying,
yeah, clear that up. You can't just say, you can't drop that on us and not to specify.
Okay, so sorry.
I had the show. I took good poo poos and drank lots of good beer.
I get the poo poos. Okay, so in Hawaii we say poo poos instead of tapas or appetizers. So that's just me culturally. I can't remove that from my vocabulary. I say pau a lot too. PAU, which means finished. And I'll just say it to my friends, like they understand. I'm like, oh yeah, what time you pau? And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, sorry, we're in America. What time are you finished? And they're like, oh, why did you say so in the first place? And so it's like, yeah, I gotta catch myself. But yeah, poo-poos is appetizers. So if you ever go to Hawaii and you want to be cool, it'd be like, oh, where's you guys got any good poo-poos here? And then they'd be like, what island are you from? Not, yeah, you get that giveaway because you sound like Mort from Family Guy, so you can't really get away.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's totally getting clipped, by the way. That's totally getting clipped. That's super cool, dude. It's making me want to go to Japan.
You should. And if you ever have any questions or anything like that, like, feel free, seriously, like, reach out. I've already told, like, I went and did a Debasu talk at Athens the other day, and that was one of the topics that we talked about real briefly. And I offered, you know, reach out to me if you have any questions, and I'll, you know, try to put you with some right people, because you'll be surprised. There's a few expats there that oh god, don't do it. yeah, there's a few expats there that are super into like just kind of showing the world what Japan has to offer when it comes to bass fishing and their whole culture. I guess last thing before I go was just going to show you guys my BFS setup. This is the Mega Bass Siglet with a paired up Aldebaran, and I got like 13-pound braid on it with I think like an 8-pound leader. This is a little topwater dealio, but yeah, this thing's, they're pretty sweet. And in Japan, it's a pretty big deal for the trout. Some guys are getting into it more so for the bass. I mean, they've all been doing it for a really long time, but this is like, this is one of the cool, the kakui things to do. You got little tiny micro jigs and tiny little swim baits and just cool stuff like that, where you're still able to go into the nature and enjoy a bait casting experience, but not having to, like, when you crack a fish, like, you're ripping it straight to your chest because it's like 1/2 pound. You can actually like set the hook on a 1/2 pound fish and like fight it back like you would like a 5-pounder on a regular bait caster. So it's kind of cool. Like, it just downsizes the whole experience. And it's just, it's definitely enjoyable. It's brought a lot of joy back to me. For me, during times where fishing is maybe slow or there's only small fish in a certain area, it definitely makes it entertaining and fun. So that's, I know that was sick, something, man, that you wanted to talk about. So I climbed up in the attic and I got the BFS rod for you. So I was going to show it off.
You snuck it in there. No, that's perfect. I didn't even think we were going to get to it.
Yeah. I actually needed to pull it out cause I just got the boat back here. So I'm pretty stoked to get her back out on the water.
You got everything ready to rock?
Ready to rock. Yeah. Got first 1 hour on it yesterday, and now I got to go put in the other 2 hours on it. So.
Heck yeah, buddy. Obviously beyond the YouTube and tournament side, is there anything that people should be looking out for on Matty Wong side of things?
If you guys are interested in any of the merchandise that helps support me directly, if you go and check out lateralvisionbrand.com and then type in Matty Wong when you get into the search bar there, and you'll see my whole capsule. 100% of the profits from that whole capsule goes to supporting me on the road. So that helps me a ton. And then obviously checking out my stuff on YouTube, that also helps because that's just a very, very small amount of passive income that helps pay for some of the bills. But you know, that's huge. And then also the support on, you know, the gram and the TikToks and whatnot. I've been trying to get better on the TikTok, started doing some TikTok lives and people have been liking dancing. It. So no, I just leave, I leave that to the other people. I can't do it.
Was it, is it Bill Owen that goes down there and dances with his kids or something like that?
With his, yeah. Yeah. I'll leave that to Hillary Martin.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy. But dude, that's freaking sick. And I lost my Aloha Matty Wong shirt to my wife. She now wears it, so it's at least being used.
Hey, which as long as it's still, you know, in use, that's all I care about.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of that, before you go here, one of our next guests coming on texted me to tell you this. Mr. Keith Tuma told me to tell you that his girlfriend is your number one fan.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks, Keith.
He's laughing down here on stage. Tuma is one of our favorite. We actually joke that Keith is the real host of the show. We're just subbing in for him while he's gone.
Yeah, it's okay. You guys are just keeping the seat warm, you know?
That's right. That's all it is. Yeah. That's all it is.
You guys are going to have a great show. Keith's a great guy, and you guys are as well. So
appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate you as always taking time to come on here and looking forward to watching you at Toledo Bend, buddy.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. And I like the little show and tell deal and get to tell you guys about my trip. But yeah, hopefully I get to see you guys soon. I'll be at the Tennessee Outdoor Show if anyone's interested. I think, yeah, just completely forgot about that. Friday, I'll be there giving a talk about oversized topwaters and glides and whatnot. That's going to be a topic at 2:30 on Friday at the outdoors show, and then Saturday I'll be at the Mega Bass booth. So if you guys are going to that show, come by and say what's up to me. I'll be stoked to say what's up and wrap it up about fishing and whatnot. But
heck yeah, dude, yeah. That's freaking awesome. All right, buddy, we appreciate you, and worst case, Matty, I will see you we'll see you at the classic.
Wonderful, sounds good.
All right, boss, we'll talk to you soon.
Have a good night. All right, fellas, take care. Good night.
Peace out. Matty Wong, everybody. Always a trip, always a good time. And I was super intrigued since following the content of him going over to Japan. You know, obviously, Andy, we shared some of the posts back and forth. And I think it's officially confirmed, even Tuma confirmed over text that we're going to Japan. We might have to hire Matty as our travel guide to take us over there. It's got to happen eventually. It sounds super freaking cool.
Just such a long flight, and I hate being in planes.
Yeah, you'll live. Andy is such a stressed out flyer, guys. You have no idea. Like, we simply flew to Charlotte from Buffalo, like
dying,
like a 45-minute like plane ride, and you think that it's like 3 years we're flying to this place. Just stressed beyond belief. But, no, it's okay. Some people just don't like it, man. To be honest with
flying.
You,
I flew to Maui, which was like one of the longest flights of my life. I think we were in the air for almost 9 hours from Dallas. And by like the end of the second movie, I was like, are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Well, Mike says, no, sorry, Andy, the worst thing that will happen is the door blows up, which actually happened.
That actually did happen. Or yeah. An engine blows up. Like, my mind just thinks about like the catastrophic, like I am the guy that had a food processor blade fall on his hand. Out of a cabinet, like bad things happen to me. It's just the way my life is. So
yeah, you guys have no idea. Like, we're not even kidding when Deacon and I joke about this, because it's just more like, because it's all true, and it's just like, how does this happen to one person or one family? Like, Andy will just text us, hey guys, might not be able to hop on a meeting, my house might blow up here soon, but like totally nonchalant, no big deal, house might blow up. And then
we had a gas leak.
Yeah, the next day is like, sorry guys, you know, Emmy's got the West Nile turtle Ebola virus, like can't come in today. Like it's just like this crazy stuff that happens.
Oh, Andy's like, since Christmas, it's been absolutely insane in our household. But somebody asked me to say I am Batman back in the comments. I had to throw it in there for the guy who asked me to say I am Batman. So good just Lord. One time.
Because why not? That's awesome. That's well, thank you again.
Have some fun with it, and I'm ready to turn it over to the real host.
Yeah, I think we are too. Thank you again to Matty Wong for coming on, telling us about his trip to Japan, and even learning that he played hockey growing up, which was pretty freaking cool. And I think it's definitely not gonna be the last time we talk to him about hockey. I'm serious. We should do a legitimate, if people want it, a legitimate like hockey panel of anglers on here, because I can't stop talking about it. But thank you again to Maddie. And we're here in a second. We're going to take a little short 30-second break because we have the show is not over. If you guys have been tuning in for the 2024 season here on Serious Angler, we have two more guests joining us. We're going to do a little underrated, overrated, which I will 100% come out here and say that I took from Alex Rudd, a good pal of ours. His game is super fun. I've been on a bunch of shows with him on his deal doing underrated, overrated, and it's a fun time. So we're going to be doing some of that. We got some good topics for the boys tonight, and it's going to be pretty fun. So we're going to get them on, Mr. Keith Tuba and Brandon Brown, here in a second, but a quick break and message from X2 Power.
In the world of battery power, a word to the wise. Compromise elsewhere.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.